Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. We're on number 21. It's our 21st Daily Devotion birthday. Nice. It's good to be together. It's good to open up God's Word. I hope you've had a wonderful day. I hope that you're having a wonderful week and that isolation isn't treating you too badly. And if you're tuning in from somewhere unisolated, well, good for you. We're all on isolation down here in New Zealand. Oh, well, that's the way life goes sometimes. But the good thing is the Word remains the same. And so let's bow our heads in prayer before we turn to His Word. Father in heaven, it's good to open up Your Word. It's good to spend time with You, and we thank You that at times like this You do meet with us. At times like this You make Yourself present to us often in unique ways, and yet, Lord, all the time You are with us. Always You meet with us. We thank You that because of Jesus Christ we have been brought near. We pray that as we turn to Your Word that You would help us to see see you, see your glory, understand how to follow you and to follow you well. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be turning to the book of James again. If you're new here, we've been working our way through the letter of James over the last, probably 10 times, I don't know, something like that, 15 times maybe. My mind's all a blur at this point. I can't remember what I've talked about where anymore. But we're working our way through James, and we find ourselves in James chapter 4. By the way, we promo, if you weren't here this morning, we did a children's talk this morning, did a children's session. We had Ryan here, and we were talking to the kids. So if you've got kids in your family, or if you've got any grandkids in your family, encourage them to join us 10 o'clock every Wednesday, and we're just sort of walking through the Bible together. So that's a great fun little thing we're doing, so I'd encourage you to join us for that. But I invite you first to open up the Word. So we're turning to James 4 and looking at the first three verses today. What causes quarrels, and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. So far the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us. Well, we saw yesterday in the end of chapter 3 that James wants us to have true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom from God. And we saw that James showed us a couple of different types of wisdom. He showed us the wisdom from below, which is worldly, which is selfish, which is self-involved, which is very proud and arrogant. And we saw that the wisdom from above is godly, and it's selfless, and it's focused upon the love of other, and it produces righteousness and peace. And James 4 kind of just follows on from that train of thought. It transitions, and it feels a little bit like we're into a new topic, but it is intimately related to the previous one. You see, the wisdom from above led towards humility and peacefulness. And now James turns to address a major issue in the people that he's writing to. Now, of course, we don't know the exact group of people he's writing to, nor their particular setting. We know that they're people outside of Jerusalem. They're out there somewhere. And it's apparent that James is well aware of what's going on in their setting because he addresses it here. He addresses a monstrous issue in the church, and really, when it all said and done, it boils down to what we would call hedonism, depending on your accent. Now, you might say, well, what on earth is hedonism, and where do you get that from? That's not in the text. Well, have a look very quickly here at verse 1. He says, is it not this, that your passions... So just very briefly, the word passions comes from a Greek word, hedone, and that's where we get the English word hedonism, or a hedonist. And a hedonist is a person who is obsessed with one thing, and that's their own pleasure, their own passions, their own pleasure, their own happiness. And everything else must submit and be used to serve the purpose of obtaining one's own happiness, one's own joy in this world. Whatever makes me feel good. And if ever there was a description of our age, and many ages really, it's the word hedonism. We're surrounded by people whose one goal is to get exactly what will make them happy. Exactly what will satisfy them right now. And James is addressing that heart attitude in the people that he's writing to. and he's addressing it because of the evil that this hedonism is leading to. Notice he says in verse 4, what causes quarrels and fights among you? And the interesting thing is, he's using metaphorically very strong words. The words for quarrels and fights are quite literally the words that we use when we talk about wars and battles. So when Jesus says there will be wars and rumors of wars, he uses this word. So what causes military conflict amongst you? Some commentators have supposed that there's actual fights going on. People are actually killing each other, that they're following after the zealots and they're actually murdering each other. I don't think it's probably quite that extreme, but I think he's drawing on that language to be shocking to the readers. What is going on that is causing you to be at war with one another? And then he explains what it is. It's interesting, isn't it? He asks the question, and then he tells them. Very good teacher, James. So he tells them the problem. You're at war with one another. And the issue is, you've submitted, for lack of a better word, you've submitted to a spirit of hedonism. Your chief desire is to get what you want, no matter what the cost. And what does this type of a heart attitude lead to? Where does the spirit that James is addressing take the people? What does it produce? Because you remember, James is very concerned with what is being produced in the church. He talked about the fact that faith produces good works, that faith produces Christlikeness. And he talked about the fact that good wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom produces fruit of peacefulness and righteousness and holiness. Well, what does this hedonism produce? Have a look with me at the text. Verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You desire and do not have, so you murder. So the first thing that this hedonism produces is hatred. War, murder, killing. He literally uses the same word that's used in the Greek translation of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. It says, you're so much at war with one another that you're basically murdering each other in order to get what you want. Now, can you think of anything more preposterous in the church than that the members of the body of Christ would be basically killing each other out of their own sinful desires to get what they want? Yet that's what's going on here. You see, he recognizes that in their pursuit to get what they want, you desire and you don't have it. So you're desiring this thing that's going to, you think is going to make you happy. You want that thing really badly and you don't get it. So you start murdering each other. You start hating each other. I mean, that's the way Jesus talks. If you hate someone in your heart, you murder them. So you want it so bad that you murder them. Now, your desires might look very different to theirs. Your desires might look different to your neighbor's desires and to my desires. One of us will desire the Ferrari. One of us will desire the perfect family, maybe the perfect home, maybe the perfect career, to be thought well of, to be honored, to be respected. We all have different desires, but when hedonism is in control, regardless of what the desire is for, that desire will cause a person to do evil. And so these people were beginning to pursue this desire with such ferocity that they would start murdering one another. But not only does it lead to murder, have a look at the second half of verse 2. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So it produces this anger because you don't get, but it also produces coveting, doesn't it? Because you see that logical path James is taking us on. You want something, you desire something, you don't get it, so you kill, and you don't have it, so you covet it. You see what your neighbor has. Your neighbor has the nice car. Your brother in Christ has the nice car, and you're driving the 1992 Toyota Corolla, or whatever car in your country suits, you know, the standard family car, no bells and whistles. The aircon stopped going about 38 years ago. That's you, and you look over at the person's brand new Audi or Lexus or something, and you, I want that. And I can't obtain it, so I'm going to go to war. That's what James says. I'm going to go to war. You fill yourself up with coveting, and then you go to war to try and get it. That guy's wife is way better than my wife. And I'll do everything I can to get it. Now, it may sound extreme, but that's what happens when you start coveting maybe another member's job, or the other member gets the ministry position or becomes an elder and you don't, and you feel like you should have always been an elder, or maybe the work colleague gets a promotion and you don't, and you covet that promotion, so you do everything in your power to systematically make that person look like a muppet so you can look good and try and get the promotion from them. We may not do it in extreme ways, but the temptation's there in the heart, isn't it? The temptation for self-honor, self-love, self-promotion, self-joy becomes greater than loving our neighbor as ourselves. But not only does it lead to war and to coveting, it leads to wrong asking. So in the beginning of verse 2, you desire it and you do not have it. In the second half of verse 2, you covet it and you can't obtain it. Last part of verse 2, you don't have it because you don't ask. Now, if you just pause there, you think to yourself, but that's a bit weird. He's been saying these are wrong desires. So now they are, but they don't have their wrong desires because they're not asking. And James clarifies what he means by that. What does he mean by not asking? You ask, so they do ask, but they ask and don't receive because they're asking wrongly to spend it upon their passions. Same word as before, to spend it upon their hedonism. And so you get the picture that they didn't get it. They went to war. They still didn't have it. They coveted it. They tried killing people. They still didn't have it. They ask. They don't receive it. The reason they don't receive it, it's because all they want to do with it is spend it upon their own desires. So they go not, I don't think the picture is going to one another and asking. They go to God and say, oh, God, give me that Lexus. I want that person's Ferrari. Or I want that person's pay rise. Or I want that person's suit. Or I want that person's ability to bake cookies. I wish I could bake cookies that good. But the only reason you ask is it's not for God's glory. It's not for the betterment of the church. It's not for building up of the body of Christ. It's not for the kingdom of God. It's not for anything other than I want to satiate my desire for self. And it's a horrendous evil. That's why James is using such strong languages, why he will go on in verse 4 to say, you adulterous people. That's pretty strong language. You whores. That's horrendously strong language because it's a horrendous evil that James is trying to cut out. See, James is like a magnificent surgeon. If you go to your surgeon because you're sick and you've got a cancer in your stomach and he needs to cut it out, do you say to him, you know, I know it's a problem, but can you do it in a way that doesn't hurt? And the surgeon says, well, look, I'm going to have to cut you open and I'm going to have to get my hands in there and find it and cut it out, and there's going to be a lot of blood. This is why we knock you out. You don't want to see what goes on in surgery. And so it's going to hurt. You're going to wake up and feel like a train wreck. And you go, oh, well, yeah, but I don't really want any pain. Now, if the surgeon said, oh, no pain. Oh, well, that's okay. Well, I tell you what I can do is I can just pat you on the sore spot and it won't hurt a bit. And what kind of surgeon? You'd be like, I think I'm getting another surgeon. I want the surgeon to do whatever pain is necessary to get rid of the cancer. Isn't that the case? Well, that's what James is doing. He's taking out a scalpel and he's stabbing the sin in the hearts of his readers. He's saying, this is not right. This is not how the children of God should live. This is not how you should live. Viewer, wherever you are, this is not how you should live. You need to put away warring, fighting, coveting, hating, murdering, asking wickedly. There should be no room in the household of God for worldly hedonism, for a passion which is spent purely upon satisfying your own evil lusts and desires. There's just no room for it. Because we're called to be set apart from the world, aren't we? We're called to be like Christ, as we've said over and seen over and over and over again in the book of James. We are to be a separate people, and he's going to talk about that later in this chapter, about the fact that we're meant to be different than the world, not the same as the world. Hedonism is what every worldly person embraces. It may look different. No, I guarantee it. Every single one of them. It's the human nature. The human fallen sinful nature is to spend and be spent for one's own pleasures and desires. So what's the solution? And I'm not going to spend basically any time on this. What? That's not helpful. But I want to point you in a direction. You see, my goal is not to answer everything for you. It's to point you in a direction. And I want to suggest to you something called Christian hedonism. And you may have never heard this before, and maybe you've heard of it and you think it's a contrary terms, you know, Christian hedonism. Can there be such a thing? Very simply, Christian hedonism is the idea of spending and being spent, not for just your own desires, but for desires satisfied in Christ. That hedonism is spent in filling one's happiness here. Christian hedonism is fulfilling happiness there, in God, in Christ. That's what the Bible's about. It's about us being satisfied in him. Isn't that what our wonderful first question and answer is? What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him and to be satisfied in him. And I just want to point you in the direction of John Piper, because he changed my life with his teaching on Christian hedonism. Because I had no concept really in my mind and heart about pursuing joy in God. And he opened my eyes to see that there's something more to the Christian faith than just raw duty. But there's satisfaction in Christ. You see, if you only try and squash evil desires, you're just going to create a vacuum. It's going to be like the parable Jesus told, where the spirits are cast out and it's swept clean, but there's nothing that replaces it. And the evil spirits come back. That's what happens when we squash desires. So I'm no longer going to think about this evil thing. We have to replace it with something. We have to replace the lower with the higher thing, the bad with the good. It's the way the Bible always talks, put off this, put on this. And so rather than these worldly hedonistic type ideas, let's pursue our satisfaction in Christ. And I want to suggest to you two very simple resources. And it should be in the comment of this video. Two links. One is just a brief 10-minute video by John Piper. I recommend you to watch that. And then there's another link there to something a bit longer. And then he wrote a book, John Piper wrote a book called Desiring God. That's what changed me. And I'd encourage you, if you're keen, look it up and read it. Track it down. I can give you a copy of my copy. You can borrow it. It's filled with my scribbles, but that's all right. Find your satisfaction in God. That's the goal. Be satisfied in Him and not in this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us and that you are more satisfying than this world. Lord, we acknowledge that very often we worship ourselves and we find our joy in this world. Well, we think we do anyway. And we pray that you would help us to focus ourselves upon you. Help us to see the joy that you give us in Christ. Help us to put off evil and put on Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It was great to be together, even if I'm not seeing you, but you're seeing me. Either way, it's great to open up God's Word together. I hope you have a blessed evening or day, wherever you're checking in from. And I will see you at the same time tomorrow. The Lord's richest blessings to you all. Goodbye.